Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive-Through HR. It's Friday, so happy Friday, everyone. And today we have a wonderful guest talking about wellness, so stay tuned. And if you are listening to Drive-Through HR, hit the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag DDHR. If you wish to ask any questions to our guest, please feel free to do that. And if you are on the go, you can listen to Drive-Through HR as well. You can dial to 347-996-5600, and you will be able to listen to us live on the go as well. So without further ado, let's talk to our guest, Dave Monahan, CEO of FitPlins. Dave, welcome to Drive-Through HR.
Thank you very much. It's great to join the show and be part of this call.
Great. Well, first time on the show, so we are so excited and delighted to have you here and can't wait to hear your insights about technology and how it's going to back up our wellness program as well. So before we get to that, Dave, we would really appreciate if you can talk a little bit about yourself and about your organization so our audience can learn more about you.
Sure. So as you said, my name is Dave Monahan. I'm CEO of FitLinks. And I joined FitLinks about 7 years ago, and what we're focused on is developing technologies that help engage people in health. And we've created some wireless devices, some wearable devices, and then also some wireless sort of stationary devices like wireless weight scales and blood pressure monitors. And we bring those types of devices into health and wellness programs. And you won't hear about FitLinks from a consumer perspective. We're not a consumer brand. What we are is we're a supplier of technology and solutions to other companies who then bring our technology solutions into market. So we partner with healthcare providers, healthcare payers, corporate wellness program providers who will create custom programs and applications to engage their constituents in health, and then they'll use our devices and our data services within those applications and programs. And I'll go through a number of examples as we go through the show, but like I said, we're an enabling technology for others to provide health and wellness programs.
Great. We look forward to hearing more about that. So, Dave, what's really keeping you up at night these days? Or let me ask you probably, what's keeping your clients up at night these days?
A good question. Besides my neighbor's dog, it really has to do with the healthcare crisis. As I'm sure a lot of the not all the callers are aware. I mean, we really are in the middle of a healthcare crisis from sort of two angles. One is just the cost of healthcare. So, you know, healthcare has just been increasing to a little bit of a crazy amount, where it's approaching 20% of our GDP as a country. And so that's, you know, obviously that's a problem that needs to be addressed. But what really underlies that is what keeps us all up at night, me and my customers and my partners, which is it's being driven by unhealthy behaviors. So if you really look at all those healthcare costs, about 75% of them are driven by sort of bad behaviors, whether it be people aren't eating properly, they're, you know, too sedentary, they're watching TV or they're in front of their computer, they have high stress in their job or at home, and still about 20% of the population smoke. So those behaviors are really the underlying issue of driving our healthcare costs. And what's happening, and I'm sure everybody has felt this within their organization, is as a part of that, our healthcare premiums continue to go up. And what the projections are right now is that it's our premiums and what employees pay into their premium is going to eat up about 30% of the average salary of a worker within the next 5 years. So it's just become obviously a very, very big issue, and it needs to be addressed. So at the end of the day, what we're trying to do and what, you know, we're constantly trying to iterate around and improve upon is how do you engage, people in creating healthier lifestyles so that you can address both the health of the individual but also the cost associated with that behavior.
Well, that's great. So what are you listening from some of your clients? What are some of the questions that you would normally answer to your clients? So when they approach you, would they start with the cost first, or would they start with their culture first? Hey, we're really wanting to have a culture to make a healthy employee workforce or to have a healthy workforce, or are they concerned about how this is going to impact the numbers?
Yeah, so I guess to answer the question, it's they approach it from both angles. So I think it's become, you know, if you asked me that question 5 years ago, I'd say a lot of people approach it from the cost perspective. So they did a lot of programs, like wellness programs within corporations that didn't really have a big impact, but they were low cost. And so they did things like, you know, health assessments as an example, which were nice and, you know, nothing wrong with them. But at the end of the day, it didn't engage the employee in health. So they were looking for sort of low cost, you know, and I don't want to call them check the boxes, but it was just how do I do something that's not too costly? And it sort of checks the box, and I did a wellness program. What we're hearing now, we've been hearing this for the last, you know, 12 months or so, maybe even a little bit longer than that, is they're coming, the customers are coming to us more sophisticated about this and understanding it will cost some money to, you know, create a wellness program or health program within their employees' base, but it will have a large ROI if it's done properly. So we typically, the questions that are coming up is, how do I engage my employees in healthy behaviors, and then how do I measure the impact of that? And then I'm willing to pay, you know, what is necessary in order to get a good ROI from that activity. And so we've been working with our partners on giving the employers when they come to us with the evidence of, you know, how you get there and the cost associated with that. So the net is, I think, is it's become a more sophisticated market and the more sophisticated buyer of our services and our products, and it sort of has both angles, both value and cost associated with it.
Right. Well, while you're talking about engaging employees to have a healthy behavior, you know, normally we have this quote unquote thing like, well, wellness is your own thing, not the organization's responsibility. So what are you really expecting, or what are you really expecting from the leaders or the executive team who really drive this initiative and let their employees be interested in having or continuing that healthy behavior in an organization? So what are you really wanting to have an approach from these leaders and the executive team in an organization?
Yeah, so the net for us when we engage with executive teams within corporations is there's certain aspects of a program that are very, very important. And one of the critical ones is leadership within the organization and commitment to the program. So we work first to understand that and make sure the executives are committed to the program and are part of it and are out in front of it and, you know, become, you know, sort of setting the pace and the culture within the organization. There's also a number of other things that are really important when you create a program. So that's just a critical. If that doesn't happen, the program won't be successful and it will sort of fade into the back and people won't really engage with it. As part of that, there has to be trust. So we've seen, you know, organizations, you know, who sort of try to use it not as, you know, a way to engage with employees and understand their needs and, you know, create sort of a, you know, a nice platform and set of solutions that the employees can use, but some take the other angle, which is almost like a, you know, a stick or, you know, try to figure out a way to just wedge it into an organization as a way to lower costs, but don't, you know, take in the cultural piece of it and the important sort of soft sides of it. So we coach, you know, employers to, you know, make sure this is a trusted program. It takes into consideration the employees and their needs and is not a stick. It's a more of a carrot approach and sort of inclusive approach to wellness. And then, so that's sort of the cultural piece, the engagement piece, and you know, creating a nice environment for people to engage in the program. And then, the program itself, and anything, you know, within the program, whether it be a device or an application, whatever, it needs to fit into the people's lives, into the employees' lives. It has to be really easy to use. So you can't ask employees to, you know, totally change their lives or, you know, really organize around something that's not natural. So we try to make sure that, you know, one, when we design a product, and we work with partners who design applications around our product that they just fit in, they're easy to use, and people can get up and going on them very quickly. The other thing is there's a number of motivators that we've learned over the years that really get people engaged. So as you're creating the programs, the six things that we have seen that work are incentives work well, so give people a reason to engage and, tie to like a healthcare plan, a healthcare savings account, like really tie it into healthcare in a way for people to earn, let's say, rewards within a healthcare plan. Community, so, get people engaged with their friends and their family and, whoever else they'd like to have come into the community, because if you have friends and family in it, you're more likely to participate in it. There's another piece, which is a lot of people don't know what to do. So they need support, they need guidance, they need expertise. So let's say somebody who hasn't exercised for 5 years is 50 pounds overweight and maybe is dealing with type 2 diabetes. If you go tell them to do 10,000 steps a day, they're going to fail and they're not going to continue with the program. So having some support and guidance that they can go talk to somebody and say, okay, what's good for me? If I want to engage in this, what's realistic for me to get started and sort of progress from there? Games are good. I've seen some people think that games are sort of the end-all be-all, but we like games. We like to be part of the program. So, a certain part of the population likes to, be engaged around games. That's a good piece to have, but it's not the end-all be-all. It's just another component to have within the program that motivates people, a certain set of people. And then the last one I would say is just having, being able to let people set up personal health goals. So your goal is probably going to be totally different than my goal. So we need options in the program to, that it sort of map to my needs and, something that's more personal to me versus, it's something generic to the whole organization. So and probably a little bit long answer to your question, but there's multiple components that need to be thought about when executives are, going to be deploying and supporting these programs and to make sure that they're successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, while you were talking about incentives, there is a great segue. There is a great question that has come up on our Twitter stream. The question is asked by Power Web Results, and they are asking, are there other incentives besides monetary ones that you have seen drive engagement?
I'm sorry, I missed that. Other than what?
Are there other incentives besides monetary ones that you have seen drive engagement?
I'm sorry.
Dave, you talked a little bit about the incentives, you talked a little bit about the games as well in order to engage the employees to embrace the idea of wellness, right? So, do you see any sort of monetary ones or non-monetary ones that are really kicking and really working for your clients?
Oh yeah. So monetary. It is a good, like having monetary incentives are important. It's not going to drive long-term behavior, but it's a good way to get people involved from the beginning. We think of it like you have extrinsic and intrinsic motivators. And what we see work is the extrinsic motivators, things like monetary awards, are a good way to get people engaged in the beginning. So, for example, one that works really, really well, it's the one we always suggest people do, is if you have a program where you can put money into a health savings account, just if people, demonstrate healthy behaviors, let's say they average, 5,000 steps a day for, 3 months, put into their health savings account, a $300 incentive into the health savings account. That will get the sort of that extrinsic motivator of, okay, I want that. I'm going to, get involved because of that. Once they are in and are starting to, get engaged, then we like to see the intrinsic motivators, which is, I can create, community. I can get my family involved. I get a support structure that, supports my goals. I can set goals that are personal to me. Now it's becoming part of, like we said, they're saying intrinsic motivator, that this is something I want to do. It's part of my sort of, my makeup. It's something my family expects of me or my friends expect of me, and it's something I sort of do day in and day out. It's not just about the incentive or the money anymore. It's now something I do as a go about my day.
Great. Let us do a quick reset, Dave, and give a shout-out to our audience. Hey everyone, you are listening to Drive Through HR, and we are talking with our wonderful, wonderful guest, Dave Monahan, who is the CEO of FitLinks, and we are talking about wellness program and how technology backs up the wellness program in an organization and how to engage your employees to have a healthy behavior. So, Dave, you kind of talked a little bit about the incentive programs, and then you said about how organizations should involve family as well. Well, being an Indian, I can quote an example. Like in India, when we talk about wellness program, the entire family is involved. I mean, entire family is included in that. Let me say the family members like my father and mother especially. But over here, it's entirely different. It's only your spouse or probably kids. No, father and mother is not included over here. So do you see any sort of a global, any sort of challenges when your clients are working with global workforce?
We haven't done a lot of global work. So we have clients, customers, and partners in Europe, and mm-hmm. obviously in the U.S. Those are the two main markets that we're selling and servicing. As far as family is concerned in those cultures, is I think there's two pieces of it. There's one piece which is just the financial side of it, which in the U.S. anyway, about half the healthcare costs that an employer would incur is going to be based on the family members, not just the employee. So it's obviously a large percentage of the total cost of the healthcare plan. And so it's important to address it and get family members involved in a wellness program because of that. The other side of it is it's actually really important to involve the family members because it's a very large motivator for the employee themselves to get involved. And so we very much encourage the inclusion of family in a program. And what we've seen, like I said, I can't talk outside of Europe and the U.S., but what we've seen is when companies do that, the families do get involved, and they very much value the programs and support the employees in those programs. And so we, like I said, we highly encourage it. We think it's important. We also see that the employees and their families do get involved, and they engage in that when that's offered.
Great, great. Well, while we were talking about technology, now the recent issues, not an issue, but then still, HR will have an ambiguity that what happens is employees are bringing their own technology. So now we have these wearable technologies available. And when we talk about health, it is Fitbit and other different types of wearable technologies are available in the market. And you yourself are your company is also offering wearable technologies. So what are some questions that are getting asked recently from your clients when it comes to whether to buy it or not?
Yeah, it's a good one because we see that all the time as well. So, yeah, there are a lot of devices in the consumer space. There's more coming, and, if you follow the space at all, there's probably already 50 devices out there, and there's probably another 50 coming in the next 12 months. So it's something that you need to deal with. And we encourage employers and our partners. Our partners are the ones who build the applications that they sell to employers. We don't build our own application. But our partners have included the capability to add consumer devices to the program. So what it seems like the best model that we've seen out there that works is if an employer is going to engage, let's say, 10,000 employees, roughly what we're seeing in the consumer space is about 1-2% of the population have their own device. So you can, say that, let's say, 90% plus of your employees aren't going to have a device. So you need to supply them something. And that's what our business model is. We want to supply that large population through the employer with a device that works, in their environment. And then if that 1-2% that may grow to, say, 3-4-5% want to bring their own device in, that's fine. And the program should be able to accommodate that just so the device itself has been qualified that it is accurate, and if you're going to have incentives associated with it, that it's not going to be misleading or give false information or too much credit and things like that. So there's a little bit of a precautionary tale there to make sure you screen the devices and make sure they work properly and are accurate. But we see the you know, moving forward, that sort of dual model is just going to continue, and it's going to be important to embrace that consumer device as part of the overall strategy.
Wonderful. Well, in fact, there are two questions that has come up on our Twitter stream regarding the technology. And I know this is not a sales call, but then still, if you can give us some examples, like maybe your top most three products, like what kind of a products are your clients are really in tune to use?
Great. So the so our clients, what they're addressing, so this will drive, you know, what the devices that they're buying, but our clients, for the most part, are dealing with, when you look at the health issues and what's driving their healthcare costs, they're dealing with a population that typically is, let's say, 60 to 70% sedentary, who aren't meeting, like, sort of the basic CDC activity requirements. So that's one thing they want to address, is getting people more active. And associated with that is typically overweight and obesity in their population, so they wanted some sort of focus around weight and weight management and weight loss. And then the third one is typically type 2 diabetes, which is driven by, for the most, to a large extent, sedentary behavior and weight. So those three pieces are sort of the most important to address within the large population. So our devices, the most popular devices we sell, one is called the Pebble, and it's just a little activity device. It's about the size of a quarter, and you can clip it onto your waist, onto a shoe. Women can clip it onto a bra strap. And what it does is just all day it's tracking how many steps you took, how active you were from a time perspective, the calories you're burning throughout the day, and the distance you've traveled in the day. And so it's just a
I'm sorry, Dave, to interrupt you right there. So do you think in order to use that product, organizations are encouraging the employees to have different programs, like, well, hey, instead of using the elevator, use the steps, or instead of using the car, probably if you are staying nearby, walk to office, or have a bike riding challenge or something like that? Do you know?
Absolutely.
Right.
So when you get these devices into your culture, what ends up happening is exactly what you talked about. So, people will take that data, and it becomes the device itself becomes the sort of reminder to be more active. Mm-hmm. And so you see, like you said, you see people parking further away from the office. You see people during lunch going for a walk. See people creating walking groups or challenging each other and creating communities to get more active. It becomes part of the sort of, it gets weaved into the culture of the company and into the person's life. And that is exactly what is causing, creating the engagement we're seeing in the programs. Is it's like a spark, and it's something to latch onto and like I said, start creating healthy behaviors. So it is absolutely, it's a little bit of a little magic actually when it happens, and it's beautiful to see. And if you have that culture, as I talked about before, if you have that culture that supports that behavior, so it can't just be about the device. The culture itself has to say, yes, we want you walking during lunch, or if you're on a call, take it on your cell phone and walk as you're taking the call. Things like that are what create the difference and create the healthy behaviors and the healthy outcomes. That device is, getting back to the original question, that device is the most popular device we sell. And then to support that, we offer a wireless weight scale and a wireless blood pressure monitor. And, some employers will want that, and they'll create, we have like a little kiosk you can set up within the employer location, and people can come take their weight, take their blood pressure monitor, take their blood pressure. Or you can supply this to employees to take home, so you can have a consumer sort of version that is a personal device that you have at home. And that just helps if you're, focused on, things like hypertension or, trying to lose weight. You can, add those types of devices to the solution.
Right. It's really cool to hear how technology has evolved. Well, there is one more question on our Twitter stream that is from Brian. And he is asking, hey, Dave, in your opinion, what are the keys to creating engagement in corporate wellness programs? I think we kind of talked a little bit about it, but if you wanted to elaborate or probably add some points, you are free to do that.
Yeah, so if I had to bullet them out, I think I covered them, but just a quick summary and sort of first, it's got to fit into somebody's life. It just has to. It's got to be easy to use, and from the very beginning. It can't have friction. It's got to be easy. Second is it has to have those motivators I talked about. So incentives, community, you know, support and guidance, challenges or games, and then also, you know, the ability to personalize a goal. So those motivators to me are critical. The third is you need to create a culture of health within the company, and it's got to be supported from the leadership, and it's got to be, you know, if, you know, like I said, if people want to go for a walk during lunch or maybe even during the day, you know, in the middle of the day, you support that, and you say that's important as an organization that people do that. The ones I probably didn't get to or didn't highlight as much is when you think about an employee population, you have all ages and, you know, different fitness levels. You have multiple disease types in that environment. And so it's got to be universal and inclusive. It can't just narrow in on one specific set of, you know, of employees. It's got to consider everybody. And then the last is it just has to be trusted. It just doesn't work if it's being used as a tool to wear, as a way to lower cost, and it's sort of like very mechanical, and it's more, you know, a stick versus a carrot. And that just doesn't work, and it breaks down, and people don't trust it and move on. So that's a quick bullet list of what I think is important.
Great. Well, we have seen people start embracing this wellness program in an organization. And then, as you said, more and more wearable technologies are coming out to the market. And, in fact, there is a question from our Twitter stream. Steven is asking, how do you think the technology giants like Apple and Samsung will impact the wellness wearable market?
That's a good one.
There's a question of the wellness wearable market.
Yeah, I guess the good news is that since they're coming into the market, they get it, right? They get that employees and consumers and, you know, basically general population wants to improve their health. And I think that's great that, you know, the big guys are going to come in to service that market. I think what it's going to do in the short term is it's probably going to create some confusion. So there's going to be competing, you know, technologies and platforms and things like that. And you're going to hear a lot about this. And, you know, so there's going to be some time where, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time before it starts settling in to sort of, you know, a common platform and a common way of, from a technology perspective, to deploy things. So I would expect a little bit of a rough patch. But once we get through that and things settle down and the market has chosen, you know, what platform and sort of solution sets it likes, then we'll start to see real explosive growth in this area. And it's a typical sort of technology adoption curve that we're going to see. So if the good news are coming in, we're going to have a little bit of a turbulence, and then I think it'll settle in and be very, very good that they're in the market and have settled it out.
Great. Well, we don't have time for more questions there, but then still we are getting more and more questions on our Twitter stream, but unfortunately we have to wrap up the show. So where can people come and find you and find out more details about the products that you offer?
So they can go to fitlinks.net, that's our website, and get some more information about our company and our products, or they can reach out to me at dmonahan@fitlinks.com. And you can go up to fitlinks.com or fitlinks.net to, you know, check out spelling and get my name properly spelled. But, you know, dmonahan@fitlinks.com is where you can reach me.
Great. Well, Dave, thank you so much for this delightful conversation. We really enjoyed having you on the show and look forward to having you again.
Great. And thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it myself.
Great. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to Drive Through HR. We really, really appreciate your support and asking the questions on Twitter stream. And we look forward to seeing you all on Monday. Until then, have a wonderful weekend. Let's wrap up with a country road song.